I can't wait any longer. As you know, the pastor gives me this privilege every once in a while, and I sure appreciate it. Have you enjoyed the service so far? I don't know if this is a special or not, but this is what I got this morning so far. You see, when I start in worshiping right when Vic starts in. It'll help you to do that. This is what I got so far. Lord loves some soul. I always think, win some soul. If we love them, we can win them. This service, I know, has been prayed for, planned, and practiced. It's well known. It's well shown today. And it's been practiced for him. It's been practiced, and they've been ready to sing to the Lord for his honor and glory. Are you there? Are you with that? If you don't know that or haven't been with it, you missed it. When you come in, pray and take in all the whole service. Now, I know I'm overcome today, but in the middle of the service, I start crying. Now, why did I do that? I'm old. It happens. Not any spiritual thing. The other thing I want to say before I say anything, a couple things, is do you notice the graphics? Pay attention. Especially for young people, I know that you learn from your eyes much more than your ears nowadays. And that's the way it is. If you don't believe that, watch the boot. Oh, well, that's television there. And you don't think they're trying to get you with what you see, you watch it. So we need to do that too. Do you remember the little lamb? Do you remember the hands? Sure you do. That's part of the service today. If you don't get what's going on before the preacher gets up, you're a half-baked Christian. And so get it all. That's for free. Oh, tonight, come and listen to the Gideons. What you need to do is understand that there are some places that this church can go above and beyond its own walls. And the Gideons is one of them. So come tonight and listen to what God has been doing, is doing, and will do with the Gideons. And I hope you'll walk out tonight with the intention, like I do, to pray for the Gideons every day. I do have a sermon. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 39. I want you to turn in your Bibles or the one in front of you. If you don't have one, and quite often I don't use my Bible when pastor preaches, not because I don't believe in my Bible, but he's got it all printed out. I don't have to look at anything, and it's right in front of me. So I just take that, but you don't have that today. I'm not capable of doing all that stuff. But I got the book, and you got the book, and we're going to read in the book. Psalm 39. David's talking. Psalm, you got it? You got that Bible in front of you? Get it out there. Psalms is in the middle of your Bible. You got that? Oh, yeah, you got that. I'm going to wait a minute. Some of you are hesitating. Don't hesitate. Do it. I said, I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I'll restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. There's the kicker. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good. And my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. And this is what he says. Lord, here's my message. Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days like handbreadths. My age is nothing before you. Certainly every man has at his best state but vapor, Selah. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and they do not even know where they gather them. They don't know what they're doing with them. And now, Lord, well, what do I wait for? There's my song and there's my statement. My hope is in you. Deliver me from my transgressions, all of them. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. I was mute. I didn't open my mouth because it was you who did it. Remove your plague from me. I'm consumed by the blow of your hand. When with your rebukes you correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is a vapor. You repeat there, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner as all my fathers were. Remove your gaze from me that I may regain strength before I go away and am no more. What does God have to say to us through this today? Let's ask him and we'll see what God has to say through Psalm 39. Father in heaven, I thank you for this privilege I have, and I pray that you help it to come from you today as the message that has been given and will be given from you. I pray that it will reach into our hearts today and you will make good use of it. Help us to learn from you and to live for you and to go out and respond correctly. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of my message, The Right Perspective for This Short Life. The Right Perspective for This Short Life. If you've reached a certain age, this subject kind of bears news on you, the brevity of life. It comes up quite often. After you reach 80, it comes up about 7 times a day. It tells us this, it tells David's, not David's title, but the title given to it, it's the Song of David. Song of David. This is from David's life. This is what David says. This is what David is saying to the Lord, and we need to hear it. We live, or try to live, to ignore and cover up this all the time. The brevity of life, we don't want to talk about it. What we use is amusement and amazements. You don't believe it? Let me read the list. This is where most people live today. A TV. How much time do you spend there? Texting. Do you know that an old man like me does such things? No, I don't, but I get somebody else to do it. You know what I did this morning? In my coffee shop that I get there 6:30 this morning. You know what I did? I said, would you talk to my friend Dave who can do it. I said, Dave, tell Bob that I'm using his tie today to preach. So he, there it is. And I said, by the way, I'm using your ties to preach. Well, I said something, I forgot what I said, but I said 6 more things that you can say there. So I'm up to date. I can go sue somebody to text. Now, what value is that? Nothing. Well, I don't know. I connected with Bob today. What about email? Some of you are nuts on that stuff. YouTube, iPhone, iPad, Facebook, and you know, all that other stuff. Amusement, by the way, I thought I'd describe what we're into today. If you don't believe it, just listen carefully. Amusement comes from the word muse, to think, or meditate. And the prefix, a, which means not or no. So what it means basically is not to think. One writer, Neil Postman, way back in 2000, which is already 18 years gone by, 18 years since I retired. Can you imagine that? I can't. Way back around the turn, he said, this is what he wrote. He wrote a book. It says, Amusing Ourselves to Death. Well, oh, by the way, I am getting to the passage. I'm going to talk to you about this. What I want to talk to you about is having what I said I started out with, the right perspective on this short life. So we're going to take a look at the passage, and we're going to find 4 things, if I keep my mind straight. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to tell you what I say, and then we're going to remind us of what we said. Number one, the first 3 verses, I'm going to talk to you about why David brings this up. That's going to be my first point. Let's hope I stick on my points. Number 2, what he's troubled about. Number 3, my hope is in you, so why did... He says, quit picking on me. My hope is in you, so why are you disciplining me? And then he gets back to the last one. Listen to me, God, I got something to say. So let's see what David says here in this passage. In our first three verses here, David is deeply troubled. You read it there. But he said, "Really," he said, "I'm trying to keep my mouth shut." He said, "I'll guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue." If you complain against God before the world, they love to hear that. Because they don't know, they don't know nothing about the Lord, anything about the Lord. And so if you start complaining about what God is doing, and oh, they love that. Keep your mouth shut about that. That's what David is. He is careful to not open his mouth in front of the world, because there, in these three verses, I see, this is what I put it down. He's not criticizing God. He's questioning God. You and I who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ know that sometimes we do question God. It's not a sin to do that. It's a sin to think that you know the answer that God doesn't. And a sin to tell God what to do. But it's not a sin to say, "God, why are you doing this?" Sometimes you get an answer and sometimes you don't. But it's not a sin to do that. But it is wrong to do that in front of the world. They don't know our God. And they don't know that, the relationship that we have with God. So be careful when you talk to the world. Let them know that you know God, you love God, you don't understand God, but you still believe and trust in Him all the time. That's why David is very careful what he's doing here. I got four things written down here about that in those three verses. We can sin with our mouth. If you notice lately, quite easy to say something that's really not good about God. We should not be quick to share our griefs with our Christian friends. I put down, this could cause discouragement and cause distress. If you don't understand exactly what God is doing, talk to God about. David's doing. Don't talk to unsaved people. They haven't got a clue. And be careful when you talk to your Christian friends. You might discourage them. I don't say don't talk to him, but be careful how you talk to your Christian friends. And the fourth thing is, we should bring our troubles straight to God. That's what we, and I'm going to have you turn to two or three places. I'm going to take the time for you to get there. I think every one of them are what you know. But I want to set it up. I got my points set up this way. And I want us to go through and find the answer how to do it. What to do. You have questions for God, like David. You don't know why God is doing this or that. So you're not going to go to the world and go bellyache about God. You want to be careful when you talk to your friends. You're going right straight to God. I'll show you what to do. Show you how to do it. Oh, you got to go to the New Testament. We got Jesus there. See, David doesn't have that. We do. So we go to the verse that you know. But if you don't have it marked, mark it. If you don't know where it is, look for it. Philippians chapter 4. Oh, you know where I'm going. But we still need to get there. You know, famous verses are famous for a reason. They're there because we have learned, we who are Christians, have learned that there is great value in them. So we go to Ephesians, go to Philippians, and I got to Ephesians. Philippians must be there. There it is. Chapter 4, and we're going to drop into verse 6 and 7. You got it marked. Oh, no, you don't. You got the Pew Bible. When you go home, mark it down. Here it is, one of the great verses. When you got troubles and you don't know what to do. Do you have it? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And there you can do it. Supplication. How to do it? With thanksgiving for what he's done. Let your requests be careful. Be made on to God. And this is why I'm reading this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. That might be what you're supposed to hear today. That might be your verse. I don't know if you're going through any particular set of problems, but if you are, use these verses. You know them, use them. I think that's all I got. That's point number one is over with. We're up to point number two, which we go from verses someplace along here. I'll give you 4 to 6. We're down to 4 to 6. Lord, this is when he starts talking to the Lord, like I talked to you about. He starts talking to the Lord now. What he's troubled about. Life is short and it seems meaningless. See that? Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, my hand is just like a handbreadth. My age is nothing. Certainly every man at his best is just but a vapor. Let's look at this. This is what I got written down for this. I have a little couple points that's kind of out of the system here a little bit. I go down to verse 5 and I get to the end of it. There it is. You got it? You see it? Vapor. Oh, there's verse 11 too. Get down to verse 11. It's there again. Surely every man is... No wonder we got problems. It goes so quick we can't see it. Ecclesiastes talks to us about like that a little bit. Ecclesiastes, I won't have you turn there, says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Everything is meaningless. Well, if you don't know, don't belong to the Lord, don't know the Lord, don't think about the Lord, that's where you are. You just go through it. But we belong to the Lord. So did David. James, I got to have you go. You got to go one more. Little trip, just a little trip. See, now in chapter 2, or not chapter 2, my second point, I want you to drop in to another passage that you know well. I really question whether I have you turn there or not. My time is going lovely, so we can do it. That's my idea of time, by the way. James 4:13. You got it. You got that church Bible? You need to use that. Today doesn't get used very often. You need to work it up anyway. James, one of the wonderful books in the Bible. We went through that in prayer meeting a while back. It was a great blessing. James, and I want you to turn to 13 through 16. James, well, it'd be nice if I told you what chapter. Chapter 4. There we are, chapter 4. 13. I got down written here, 13 through 15. Okay. 16, 13 through 16. You got it? Are you there? James 4, 13. When you don't know what's going on, you don't know why it's going on, you don't know what to do about it, this is what you do. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such and such a city and spend your year there and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereby you don't know, you have a cotton picking idea what's going to happen. So why are you trying to plan it all? I guess I'm a little off the passage there. Wherefore, you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? Oh, there it is. It's a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll live, do this or that. But now you boast in your own arrogance, all such things, all that kind of stuff, boasting is evil. Pretty plain stuff coming from the New Testament and from the book of James. Let me see what else I'm supposed to tell you about that. I have to follow my notes like I used to know my notes. Now I have to read them over and over. There's one verse that I use that'll fit here. I use it every time when I have the privilege of having a funeral. It's Moses' psalm. In Psalm 90, I use this word. And here it is, folks. When troubled about a short life, that it might be, here's your word. Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we may give a heart to wisdom. Are you going through life as a wise, connected to God person? It's a good way to go. It's a good way to go. Now remember what David realizes here. In our passage, I'm back in Psalm 39. I got there quick. We're back there. Psalm 39. Here's a central part of one of my, I think it's a central part of one of my messages. Who knows the only message? It is God who has designed our life that is described as a handbreadth. And he gives it meaning. If you want to take out something from this church today, I want you to take out those two sentences. It is God who designed our life, and it is God who gives it meaning. Now, that's enough for number two. Number three. My hope is in you. So why do you discipline me like you're doing? David says, let up. If you've been through the life of David been through, you say that too. Let's look at it again. I'm reading now from verses, I'll get it in a minute. I'm reading now from verses 7 to 11. Pick it up with me. I'm going to come back to 7. That's one of my keys, but I'm going to start there. Let's drop to here. Now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all of my transgressions. I kept my mouth shut. I'm doing everything you want me to do. I'm going to go away. Why don't you just leave me alone? That's kind of the idea that David is saying. If you can't help me, just leave me alone. That sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Haven't you heard something like that before? You don't have to go so far this time. Go back to the book of Job. Our good friend, one of the best people in the Bible that had the most problems in his life and turned to the Lord at all times, sometime. Oh, I forgot to tell you where to go. Go to chapter 4 and go to, let me see where I'm going. My hope. Chapter 7, verse 17. You got it? Chapter 7 in Job and verse 17. You got it? 7:17. I'm going to read down to the end of that chapter. Job is doing now what David is doing. Just leave me alone. Let's see what he says. What is man that you should exalt him, that you should set your heart on him, that you should visit him every morning and test him every moment? How long will you look away from me and let me alone till I swallow my saliva? Have I sinned? What have I done to you, and washer of men? Why do you set me in your target so I am burdened to myself? Why then do you not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? For now I will lie down in dust, and you will seek me diligently. You won't even find me. I'll be all gone. You ever feel that way? David is just saying, listen, if you can't help me, Lord, let me go. Why are you bothering me? I don't mount to much anyway. I'll soon be gone, and so just let go. Job says, I wrote down here now what I took out of it when I read Job to myself. Why does God care what I'm resonating what you think sometimes. What does God care what I do? What does he want with me? Why doesn't he forget about me and leave me alone? Well, we know the answer, don't we? We are made for eternity. That's why he disciplines us, so that what we do here matters. We know that. We can quote Psalm 23. Why do we like that? You know why? Because I know he cares. I don't understand what he does sometimes. I don't a lot of times understand what he has done in the people that I know and love. I don't understand that. I got news for you. That ain't my problem. That's the Lord's. If I leave it there, it'll really help. Oh, let me see. What else am I supposed to say here? What we do here matters. Let's go back to my... I am really preaching out of Psalm 39. You figured that out by now, hopefully. In Psalm 39, as we go back there, verse 7 says what we started as. My hope is in the Lord. That's where my hope is. I don't know what you're doing, God. I don't like what you do sometimes, God, but my hope is in you because I know who you are, what you are, and where you're going, and I know all about, I kind of know a lot about you. I do know you love me. That's where I started in John 3:16. And I know that he still loves me in spite of what he knows. I have a God who loves and cares for me. That's why I can pray and talk to him when I don't understand what's going on. That's why 1 John resonates with us. Where John says, we have written these things to you because we want you to have fellowship with the one that came, well, the one that came down with, become the God that became man. You remember that in 1 John? So that we can have fellowship. That's why we're here today. We have fellowship with one another because we know God. The same God. We have the Savior, the same Savior. And if it is just in God's timing, we'll go up together. If we don't, we'll go up when He takes us. And then we don't know in this short life. It could be tomorrow. We never know. John says in 1 John, I write these things all about what I know about Jesus. See, we're way beyond David. We have Jesus. For this I have Jesus. Everything. And so I go to him and I ask, I have a lot closer relationship and I know more. Jesus became a man, so I know a whole lot of stuff about how he operates. And I know that how he operates is always his love toward me. And I know he has my best things in his mind. He isn't doing worse for me. He's doing the best for me. It may look that way. It may not look that way, but it's true. John says, remember that? John says, I write this that your joy may be full. You know what the Lord gave me right then? That's a forever. I'm going to have joy and fellowship with the Lord forever. So why do I sweat the small stuff? Well, let's get to the last point. You're glad I'm there, right? Okay. Listen to me, God, he says in 12 and 13. I'm back at 39. You're there, right there. Good. You flip back and forth. There it is, last two verses. Oh, there it is. Hear my prayer. Oh, there, he's got it to the right one. Give my ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears. I'm a stranger with you. Lord, and do we resonate with that next one? That's where we all are. We're on our way through. We are sojourners. We're like the Pastor Don talks about a lot when he talks about pilgrims. We are, the reason he goes there, it is very clear. That little thing that we talk about, the Pilgrim's Progress. It's very clear. We're like that man on his way through to heaven. That's what we are too. So, he says this. Give ear to my cry. You don't seem to be very close. I'm a stranger to you. As a soldier, as all my fathers were. Remove your gaze. He says, no, we're not going to go there today. We're going to say, Lord, keep looking at me and put your eyes upon me and your hand over me and your love within me because I am going to trust you, to the Lord. This is what I want us to finish here today. We are sojourners on the way through, just like David was. And in Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us to lay aside every weight and just keep going for the Lord. And there's our secret. Oh, you remember the secret? It's in chapter 11. You remember how those guys did it? Oh, you know that. You are biblical scholars. They did it by faith. They didn't know all the answers. They didn't know what was going on. But they trusted God. If you will operate that way, people will notice, and so will God. And if you will follow up on the Lord that way, it's a lot easier life, by the way. You might as well not carry it all yourself. Put your burdens on the Lord and leave them there. Put your hope in the Lord, because someday, it may be today, boom-o, we'll go and be with the Lord. If not so, we'll just keep on going until we get there. And what David asks for is what I'm going to preach on next Sunday, unless the Lord changes my mind. We have the ear of God. We have it. So come back next Sunday morning, bring 17 of your friends, let's go with it. Okay? You always knew the old preacher was a promoter. Okay, let me see what else I'm supposed to say. Oh, what else I'm going to say is what we're going to do. We're going to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Stand. We're going to sing it. We're going to be done.